You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes a penny saved isn't jack sh**, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome back. We are celebrating, we're celebrating comedy tonight, like we often do, and the life of Gene Hackman. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Gene Hackman movie? Let us know at 855-752-4842, or you can text us through the app or on the stream. Just text us, folks. There are no wrong answers. Right now, joining me on the stream is our friend Rich Tallarico. He is a writer who has written for such great legendary sketch shows as Saturday Night Live, Mad TV, and of course, Key and Peele. Rich, remind us, if you would, you had the honor of having a sketch, a classic sketch you wrote, one of the best ever from Key and Peele, The Substitute Teacher, be recognized and part of the Smithsonian. I think you talked about that a little bit the last time you were here. Can you remind us what exactly happened and how that happened?
Yeah, well, there's an exhibit called, I think, Entertainment Nation, and it was installed in the Smithsonian Institution's American History Museum, something. And it was put in there last year, and the, you know, the exhibit will be there for 20 years. And as part of this exhibit, you know, which covers different media, it also covers sports and entertainment, you know, the Entertainment Nation. And one of the pieces was the Key and Peele sketch, Substitute Teacher, which I was responsible for. That came from a story about my eighth grade teacher, Mr. Chudy. And you know, Mr. Chudy was ready to retire, and he had to do roll call. And we had complicated names in our class. We had a girl named Lori Babiars. We had a girl named Olga Plachotnik. And we had a guy named Chester Dobrinsky. So there was, like, you know, some alphabet soup going on. So Mr. Chudy would look at the roll, and he would see the name. He wouldn't even really try. Like, he'd see the name Babiars, and he'd look down and he'd look up and he'd go, Babish. And then the girl would, like, raise her hand and go, here? Like, yeah, I think you mean me. And then he'd see Chester Dobrinsky and he'd go, Dijinsky. And it was, like, close. Oh, very close. And he'd see Olga Plachotnik and his head would explode. But it's so funny because I'm friends with Olga still, and I see her on social media. And every time I tell this story, she's like, hey, somebody said you were telling this story again. Oh, but no, that's so where, that's where that sketch comes from. And there was some improvisation on the set. I know between Keegan and D-Nice, they did that whole back and forth thing, was kind of improvised on the set. And but it's blown up, and, you know, people all over the world know it. And I've seen people keep sending me license plates. People are changing their license plates to Aaron and Jake Wellen and Balake.
That is so great. We have we have another, and how cool, like, I mean, the Smithsonian, you know,
it's amazing.
If you've ever had a doubt about your career choice, and I'm sure you haven't because you're masterful at it, but the Smithsonian, that pretty much says.
I went down there last year, and, you know, it was incredible to walk through and to see it. You know, it's just kind of playing with a few other clips that were in the same exhibit. But, like, every time it came on, you're just like, I can't believe this is here. Very cool.
It's amazing. Well, we have another sketch that we clipped, and we pared it down a little bit, and I'd like to play this and then get your reaction from it when we come back. It's about a minute or a minute and 20 seconds.
Sure,
Conrad, if you would, please.
Well, stay off the roads if you can, folks. Lots of reports of black ice.
Ooh, you gotta watch out for that dangerous black ice. It's transparent and sneaky. Hard to see black ice.
That's right, Marcy. Keep your loved ones safe and warn them to stay off the streets tonight because of menacing, life-robbing black ice.
Isaac.
We have Channel 17's field reporter Darren Hempner with more. Darren?
Yeah. I'm standing out here at historic Ramsey Hill where there are currently no cars on the street due to hazardous driving conditions.
Darren, are you talking about black ice?
That's right.
Ooh, Jesus. It's frightening just to even say black ice.
It's scary, tricky, ruthless stuff, that black ice. A perfectly safe neighborhood can be suddenly terrorized by the appearance of black ice.
Well, one must keep in mind that just because black ice looks different than white ice, it doesn't make it any more dangerous. Also, one must remember how hard it is for black ice to survive, what with the authorities trying to destroy it with the snow plows and the salt trucks. But black ice perseveres.
Uh-huh, that's right, that's right. And as you can see right now, the city is being controlled by lots of oppressive white snow, making it hard for all people to advance. And we don't hear much news about that. Now, do we?
No, we do not.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Darren.
But let's be honest, black ice is the real menace. Last night, I was in a perfectly safe neighborhood walking away from an ATM machine when black ice just snuck up on me and practically robbed me of my balance.
Ouch. That sounds exactly like something black ice would do.
Well, I just hope that folks watch out so the white snow doesn't blind them and keep them from seeing what's really going on.
That's the black ice sketch from Key and Peele, written by our guest, Rich Tallarico. You have so many great sketches, and one we're not going to get to either, where you wrote the Obama sketch where he plays Obama and he's going through the line addressing people from different races differently. Mm-hmm. So funny. How did you come up with these? And what were those pitch sessions like where you're pitching these guys your sketches?
Well, thanks. A comedian just basically, as you know, the things come to you. You just live life and you wait for things to kind of tap you on the shoulder. And you try to be a good receiver. But I remember the black ice sketch came from, I was watching the Weather Channel and they had some report about, black ice. But the way they were saying it, they were like, black ice. Like they just were so threatening with it. And, you write it down and I go, I think this could be something to where they're, and just basically the setup that happened. That sketch, by the way, the white folk presenters, the news presenters were Laird McIntosh from The Groundlings, who's terrific. He's so great. And Arden Mirren, who I actually met in 1993 in my Improv Olympic class in Chicago, my first Improv Olympic class in the spring of 93. Nice. So it was great to work with Arden again. But no, that's where that came from. And then, of course, it got heightened. And, I pitched the idea and Key and Peele took to it pretty quickly. This is a sketch, though, I got to say, that has surprised all of us in that it's very popular. And I just didn't think it would be didn't think it would connect as much as it did, but it really does connect to people. And, you rewrite these things 6, 7, 8 times before it even goes to production. And then sometimes on the set, I know that Jordan with the line where he goes, yeah, like that was improvised. That was not in the script. And I'd written a few versions of the script. So the good thing about Key and Peele is you're usually delighted if they do something that isn't in the script. Yeah. It's usually for good reason. And I had one sketch, which was this severed head warriors sketch where basically this guy is like cuts off a head, like in Conan the Barbarian or something, and he yells and everybody cheers with him. And then he like likes the fact that people yelled. So he's trying to get more reaction. So he like puts the head on his shoulder. He starts to pretend he's got two heads. And then people are like, oh no, that's too much. He's like, okay, what do you think of this? And then he like puts it on a pair of sandals and walks the head around and the people start to laugh again. So he's just trying to get, but basically when they shot it, because I had written all this dialogue for the guy, like, okay, guys, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And he, like, put the head on the shoulder. They cut all the dialogue and just did grunts. So, as a writer, so he's like, So, but as a writer, you're delighted when you're like, hey, when do you ever say, I'm so glad they cut every word I wrote.
Right.
I'm so glad they just did grunts. Oh, and then the other one you asked about was, aside from Black Ops, the Obama greets.
Yeah, that's so yes. funny.
It's funny. I just noticed them doing it. And Key and Peele had done another sketch about what you call code switching. Because you're different with different people, right? I'm different with my poker buddies than I am with my little nephews. I'm really sure. mean and crude and rude with my little nephews. And I'm very polite with my poker buddies. No kidding. but they had another code switching sketch. And I think I was watching Obama like greet different people. And of course, we heightened it and exaggerated it. But in 2024, Obama greeted the USA basketball team and did that bit.
Oh,
like he actually did that. He pretended to greet people differently based on their race. So, you know, that's the Key and Peele filter that we were writing under, which was to look at the world in a, you know, hopefully a post-racial world, which I don't know if we're ever going to be in. But, you know, with Obama being the president, it was this, just this synergy of this show coming along and Jordan also being able to do an incredible Obama impression.
Great stuff. I want to ask you something before we run out of time. You recently said you had a screenplay curated. Kind of a cool honor. What's that like and what happens next with that?
Oh, thanks for asking, Pete. Well, sure. Basically, during the lockdown, I wrote a script called The Widow Daredevil. And it's based on the true story of Annie Edson Taylor, who at 63 was a failed charm school teacher. And she tried to reverse her fortunes by becoming a daredevil. And this is a true story. And her stunt was to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. She did it. She survived. And then there's this whole story that happens after she achieves the stunt. So I was I grew up in central New York, so I've always known her story. And I wrote this script in 2020, the Beverly Hills Film Festival made it an official selection, which is just, you know, a way to kind of put a laurel on it. And then this year I submitted it for the Gray List, which is a curated list of market ready screenplays for writers 40 and up. And they put it in like right at the top of their list, which is terrific. And, you know, the hope is that I can connect with a producer or a studio that wants to help me, you know, take it to the screen. I'm also presently exploring some options of raising some money and just trying to do it independently. So if there's any, you know, film lovers out there that want to invest, you can find me at richtellerico.com.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we should have a talk about that off the air. I would love to hear more and see what we can, maybe we can collaborate on something there. But we have about 1 minute left, Rich, and thank you again for your time. I just, of all the, like, you've written for Saturday Night Live, Mad TV, and Key and Peele. You've obviously are known more probably for Key and Peele, but what was your best experiences, your best experience of those three shows?
Well, you know, SNL was, you know, like right, if the New York Yankees call, you have to go.
Yeah.
And they actually offered me a job in 1997 as a writer, and I didn't take it because I was really trying to be an actor. I was like, I don't want to be a writer, you know, and it wasn't until I finished Second City, because I really wanted to finish Second City. And I went to Mad TV right after Second City. I did that for three seasons. And then I went to SNL for two and went back to Mad TV after that. And then I did the Tonight Show and then Key and Peele. But as far as, you know, the experiences, the SNL experience was tops. You know, I got some stuff on. I had some stuff with De Niro, with Janet Jackson, with Snoop Dogg, with Paul Giamatti. You know, I had a lot of great times there, but it wasn't really my style because everything was to camera. You know, everybody talked to the camera. So that was a big shift. And when I got to Key and Peele, it was, you know, actors performing scenes, which is
Rich,
what I wanted to direct for.
Can you hang on 1 minute and I'll let you finish story? We got to do this is a very quick break. We're coming right back with Rich Tallarico. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Rob Thomas coming up in just a few minutes to talk about Gene Hackman, and we've got my favorite clip I'm going to play in just a minute here. Right now, we have Rich Tallarico on the line, who has been gracious enough to spend some time with us here tonight and hang around a little extra. Rich, you were talking about your most pleasurable experience when it came to all your awesome writing gigs at Key and Peele, Saturday Night Live, and Mad TV. Please continue.
Well, thanks, Pete. You know, I appreciate it, and I'm sorry I went over time there.
No, that's okay. Know. We have a system where the computer just takes over whether we want it to or not. So I didn't want you to get cut off. So I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good. If you want to make a week go by fast, you buy bananas. You want to make a evening go by fast, you do one of these. So, but at SNL, you know, I wrote the Super Bowl Shuffle sketch for Tom Brady. I had a couple of scenes with De Niro. So, you know, just going out and being in the city and, you know, basically you have the keys to the city and the show spoils its people and they're very good to you. So, you know, that was an incredible thing. And Mad TV was so laid back and I loved, you know, basically just living in my you know, a t-shirt and shorts and, you know, being in Hollywood,
yeah,
you know, every day and writing comedy and going out to lunch and hanging out. And we just had so much fun. There's a lot of laughter and silliness. You know, the office at Mad TV was very silly. We had ping pong tables and, you know, staying late and having a lot of fun together. So, I mean, all of it's incredible. And, you know, I'm in a chapter now where I'm doing more teaching and I'm trying to write more screenplays. I'm trying to get my screenplays sold. But, you know, spending your 30s, you know, in these writer's rooms, is certainly the way to go. I would highly recommend.
Well, next time you're here, buddy, we'll get more into the screenplays. And I know you're doing stand-up, sure, too. We can talk about that next time, too. So
yeah,
let's do this again soon. Thank you so much again, Rich. You're always so much fun, buddy. Continued success.
My pleasure.
All right.
You too, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, my friend. That's Rich Tallarico. Just Google Key and Peele, Rich Tallarico. All his sketches come up. They're so great. And very talented writer. Always fun when Rich is on the show. So in just a few minutes, Rob Thomas will be here. And last night on the show, Jamie McShane was here, a good friend of mine who's in the show 1923. And I asked him who his influences were. And this is what he said just last night. A character, maybe a famous character or a type of role that you haven't played yet that you would love to do.
I love period pieces. If I could, I would love to play Gene Hackman's son.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that has been my dream. Unfortunately, Gene doesn't act anymore.
Right.
I would absolutely love that.
Who are your influences? Like, when you decided, I think I can do this, who did you want to emulate?
Hackman was a huge influence when I was growing up.
Wow, that was incredible. That was just last night. And then I wake up this morning to the news that Gene Hackman had passed away at 95 years old. So the circumstances, we don't know the full extent yet, but either way, it's a loss, even though he was 95. And it appears that the way he went, too, is kind of peculiar. And hopefully they'll get that worked out. But just last night, another great actor, Jamie McShane, who his resume is incredible. It just shows you the reach or the influence of Gene Hackman, such a great actor. We have a scene here. Do we have time to play this from Mississippi Burning? Okay, this is one of my favorite scenes between two great actors, Gene Hackman and Willem Dafoe, Appleton's own, Wisconsin's own Willem Dafoe. They're arguing about how to get these racist bad guys after one of them just beat up his wife, played by Frances McDormand, who Gene Hackman has some affection for. And this is the argument between these two great actors.
Mr. Anderson, stop! Mr. Anderson!
What the hell?
I'm telling you to stop, and I mean it. We're not killers. That's the difference between them and us.
That's the difference between them and you.
You're not any more like them than I am.
Wrong. What do you care what I do if some hiding behind a sheriff's badge? Don't you have the whole world to change?
That's right, and I'm changing it.
Oh, you're just as arrogant as you are stupid.
You're changing it too.
Well, I damn well gonna make some changes right now.
Don't be so stupid. Don't go messing this up just because you're partial to fooling around with witnesses.
You! Oh, come on. Ah! Ah! Oh. It don't mean I have a gun unless you're ready to use it.
I'll kill you right now if you don't listen to what I have to tell you. Let me go. Let me go. We'll go after all of them together.
You wouldn't know how.
You're gonna teach me how.
You don't have the guts.
Not only do I have the guts, I have the authority.
What is that supposed to mean?
New rules. We nail them any way we can, even your way.
Is this you talking or some guy pulling your strings, huh?
Both.
We do it my way.
Your way.
With my people.
Whatever it takes.
Okay. Give me a minute. You think he would have shot me?
Oh, yes, sir.
He's a ballsy little bastard, isn't he?
I mean, that's one of my favorite, not only Gene Hackman scenes, but my favorite scenes in the history of movies. Two guys at the height of their career, both badass roles. And if you haven't seen Mississippi Burning, I highly recommend it. There's so many Gene Hackman films you could see. The Conversation, Mississippi Burning, The French Connection. Some people say The Royal Tenenbaums, Hoosiers, the list goes on and on. Steady Eddie texts us. Our question tonight is, what was your favorite Gene Hackman film? And Steady Eddie says, Pete, Favorite Gene Hackman movie? Gotta be Hoosiers. A few of your listeners probably know this, but I've heard, not sure if it's true, that a young athletic Peach Schwappo has a cameo appearance in Hoosiers in a scene where a guy makes a spectacular slam dunk at the Indiana State tournament. Pete was the helpless, hapless defender under the basket who got posterized. Great acting, Mr. Schwabba. I think you should have at least been nominated. The Academy robbed you, man. It's a wonderful, charming, inspiring, sweet chocolate and caramel chewy film. Wow, look at Steady Eddie go, Conrad. He's on fire tonight. He says, that's right, Pete. Hoosiers is my Milk Duds pick of the week. I give it 4.5 chewy chocolate Milk Duds. That's so disgusting. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Great stuff. All right, in just a few minutes, Rob Thomas will be here. Rob was just here last night, but, you know, in the events that unfolded since his last appearance and Jamie McShane's last appearance, which we just heard a clip from that, we figured we had to have Rob back on to help us break down some of this news about Gene Hackman and talk a little bit about his career. It's the least we could do after he's given us so much. And we'll do that next. Rob Thomas coming up. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night on Nightlight with Peach Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, it is a bar band Friday night. We will find new music thanks to our friend and co-host of Max Inc. Radio, Terry Barr, who drops by every Friday night. Director Anders Lindwall will be here tomorrow night at 7:05 to talk about the success of his film Green and Gold and tell you where you can see it in the weeks to come. I think it has one more week in the theaters. We'll talk to Anders about that tomorrow night. And comedian James Connolly helps us kick things off tomorrow night at 6:35. I would like to thank on short notice. All right. Many of you might remember this next guest from last night. He is becoming a series regular here on Nightlight. And he joins us now to talk about the legendary Gene Hackman. And it's Rob Thomas, Madison film critic and editor of the CityCast Madison newsletter. Rob, how are you?
I'm good, Pete. How are you?
Good. Long time, buddy. We got to catch up. And, yeah. I appreciate you. Yeah, I appreciate you jumping on short notice, but man, that was big news. Last night, I had actor Jamie McShane on, and I asked him who his influences were, and he immediately brought up Gene Hackman. So to get that news this morning was just insane. And you know, not, I mean, he's 95, but it's a surprise the way he went. Like, you make it to 95, and then I guess they're saying it might be carbon monoxide or something.
Yeah, it's very strange. And then I read some other, I don't want to get into too much sleep, but there were a lot of other strange things, like the dog was dead too. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
And he had been retired for 20 years. Like, he made so many movies and then stopped in 2004 with this movie called Welcome to Mooseport, which was not a good movie. He knew it was time to get out, and I respect that. You know, and
didn't he
and
share enjoy. The screen with was it Ray Romano who was in that film?
Yeah. I actually think Ray Romano's turned into a really good actor, but it was just I remember seeing it, and it was not a good movie, not a good use of either of them.
Right.
You can understand why Gene Hackman was like, well, maybe I'll go write Western novels and hang out in New Mexico instead of doing this stuff.
Yeah. Well, he's such an interesting guy, Rob. What can you tell us about, like, his background and anything you might know? And maybe we can have a conversation about that and then talk about some of his movies.
Yeah. You know, I always thought he was a Midwestern guy. I know Danville, Illinois really claimed him. But actually, I guess he was born in California and then moved around the Midwest as he was younger. And Danville was the one I think that he maybe felt closest to and would come back for, like, you know, city festivals and things like that. And then, like, in the 50s and 60s, he was sort of a journeyman actor. He roomed with Dustin Hoffman. That's pretty famous.
Yeah.
Really known, and would do theater, would do TV. Apparently, he auditioned to play Mike Brady on The Brady Bunch, but got beat up by Robert Reed. I would love to see that version of The Brady Bunch.
Oh, my gosh.
Much more intense, maybe.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then his big breakthrough was with Bonnie and Clyde in 1967, where he got his first of two Oscars. And then it was really off to the races for the next 40 years. I mean, an incredible career. So many great movies, so many great performances sometimes in movies that didn't live up to them. And like, he could play anything. He could play, you know, the kindest hero, like in Hoosiers.
Yeah.
He could play the worst villain, like in The Quick and the Dead, and then just play every note on the spectrum in between those two.
That's so funny you mentioned
that. It always felt so real, you know?
Yeah, yeah. My friend Scott Clace, who's also an actor, I saw a post he just did on Facebook saying he could always be Hackman. And I used to think that wasn't really a compliment. Like, I always felt Chevy Chase was just Chevy Chase. But Gene Hackman, like, was Gene Hackman. He brought himself to those roles and made them better. And yes. I think that's the difference. So, just a phenomenal. But what a life. Like, where are these guys? You don't see, you know, so many Hollywood actors of a different generation. And it's probably indicative of just how things are now. They did military service. Like, he's got service medals from the Navy and the Marines. And, and then he just decides he wants to act. It's just crazy. I love that somebody told him, you don't have a face for a leading man. And he didn't care. He's like, I just want to act. I don't really care, you know?
Right. Right. And took, and obviously became a leading man in so many great movies, but also took big parts and small parts right up until the very, you know, like him and Young Frankenstein. That is one of the funniest.
I gotta rewatch that. Yeah.
Oh, God. Where he comes up to, you know, Frankenstein. He's the blind man who Frankenstein visits, and Frankenstein, you know, it's such a great scene. I was going to make espresso. I actually don't think of Hackman as generally very funny in movies, but he's so funny in that movie.
But if you're a great actor, you can be funny if you're using the material in front of you. And that's what he was so great at.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't trying to play funny. He was trying to play real. And that made it funnier. Yeah. Yeah.
So he got a nomination for Bonnie and Clyde. He also won an Oscar for, was it The Conversation? No, French Connection, right? I believe.
That's right. I'm sorry. You're right. I said, yeah. He was nominated 5 times, won for French Connection, and then definitely for Unforgiven.
Unforgiven. That's right. Yeah. Okay. But he's got like 4 or 5 other nominations. He won 3 Golden Globes, 2 BAFTAs. That's a lot of hardware. Where do you, well, I'll ask you that in a minute. I want to talk about something else, Rob. I thought this was fascinating. Like you mentioned it, Dustin Hoffman, the two of them started acting. They went to the Pasadena Playhouse. Both of them were voted least likely to succeed. What do you make of that? You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, they did not have, they had good faces for radio, as they say, and they had to probably work harder to get on screen and to be, but the flip side of that was they were so memorable on screen, because like, you know, Hackman looked like a guy who had dirt under his fingernails.
Right.
I think even in the 60s, you didn't see that many guys like that. There's still a lot of pretty boys in movies and stuff. And, he just made every part really indelible, and my favorite movie of his was probably The Conversation, which is the Francis Ford Coppola one that he made between Godfather and Godfather 2. And there's just so many. Like I was thinking, like, I want to watch Gene Hackman movies this weekend, but like, where do you start? Like he's got so many good movies.
Well, and not only that, like I was looking at the list, I'm looking at it right now, there's so many I haven't seen. Like, I've seen a lot of them. I've seen all of his big ones. But, you know, and it's interesting what you said about what we were just talking about, the leading man thing. He doesn't look like, you know, Brad Pitt or Warren Beatty back in his day.
But right.
There are some people who are such good actors. You cannot not make them leading men. And I think that's a tribute to his acting ability.
And I think something that like audiences responded to, like I know, dads really responded to him in the way they probably did not to Warren Beatty when they saw him
right.
in a movie like Hoosiers or The Conversation or, you know, and then a lot of young actors, as you said, look up to him and look to him as inspiration. I think we talked about that Jude Law movie, The Order.
Oh yeah.
And Jude Law straight up said, I was doing Gene Hackman in that movie.
That's no
I was thinking
way.
About Gene Hackman and The French Connection. And so he, even though I can't think of an actor right now who had came from the same place, I think he inspired a lot of what we call character actors today.
Yeah.
Especially the ones who kind of move from the supporting roles into the main roles, but somehow keep that character actor flavor when they do it.
Yeah, definitely. Well said. Where do you, here's another tidbit I thought that was funny. He and Dustin Hoffman, friends, he followed, I think, Hoffman back to, back to New York, and they became friends with Robert Duvall, who I always thought was like very similar to Gene Hackman. They both had kind of this tough guy persona, but could be very subtle and nuanced in their performances too.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Gene Hackman, he was a tough guy, and if a director or another actor wasn't pulling their weight, he was not shy about telling them. Like, I guess I was watching an interview with Bill Murray today. I guess Gene Hackman really put Wes Anderson through the ringer making the Royal Tenenbaums. Like,
really?
Ed Anderson was pretty young, and like Gene Hackman really gave him a lot of guff on the set. But they sort of found their way through to, I think, one of his best performances and a great movie. So, he pushed people for sure.
Right.
But it generally seemed to work out if the other people were kind of up for it.
Yeah, it's funny. I forget he was in Tenenbaums. Like, I saw Royal Tenenbaums and just once, but it was so long ago. But a lot of people are mentioning that as one of his best performances. And you just reminded me of, I think it was Rushmore Bill Murray was in with Wes Anderson. I think that was the first time. Well, it was the first time he was in a Wes Anderson film. And Wes Anderson, talk about challenging a young director. Wes Anderson suggested something and Bill Murray just looked at him and said, that would be the obvious choice. Rob, where do you rank Gene Hackman in terms of, it's impossible to say who the best actor is, but do you put him top five, top 10? Where do you rank him?
I would say top five for sure of my lifetime for sure. Because like I said, it was such a long career and he did so many different things within it while still having a certain, like you said, inner, honesty, I guess,
say,
when he was on screen. Like he was always drawing from something authentic, even if, it was funny. I kind of wonder if other people had the same thing, whereas you heard he died, like one movie just popped into your head immediately. That was, and for me, even though it's not my favorite movie, for me, it was Crimson Tide, Denzel Washington, because that to me was like the quintessential Gene Hackman performance, where he's like, it's a good movie, but he's great in it. Like he is doing everything he can to make it as the best that it can be.
There, you could say that about a lot of films he did, though, even in like Enemy Lines or, Enemy of the State, like The Firm, Heist. He plays these Heist. Like he's just so good at, but here's the thing too about Gene Hackman. Like the first thing I did after I got some of my work done this morning was I put in The French Connection, and I just wanted to see as much of it as I could before I came in today. Hackman is a guy who jumps off the screen. He's got such undeniable charisma and panache, whatever you want to call it. He just is so authentic and so charismatic to the point where Roy Scheider, who's also a great actor, kind of gets dwarfed. Like half hour of that movie, Hackman's in this guy's face and he's pointing and he knows when to snarl. And like, he's just so natural. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And that character has rough edges that, like, if it was a Warren Beatty or something, I don't think they would have, but it makes it such a compelling character. Like I said, he's not quite, the white-hatted hero. He's a little darker and more interesting than that. And then you just can't take your eyes off him.
Right. Yeah. Well said. Let's talk. Do you have like I asked you, I don't know if you saw my text. I was thinking we could do like a top five list. I would love to know what your top five, or at least the first ones that come to mind, Gene Hackman films are.
Yeah, just top of my head, I would say Conversation number one. And that's the one that's a little underseen, but
yeah,
he has the lead role in it. I would highly recommend that one. French Connection number two. Unforgiven number three. Royal Tenenbaums number four. And probably Hoosiers number five, I think.
Nice.
How about yourself?
I mean, it's hard to argue. Those are all phenomenal. I would say my one for him, and a part of it is I just like the role too, but Mississippi Burning.
Yeah.
And then I would say probably The Conversation. French Connection would be my number three. And then I had kind of a tie between Bonnie and Clyde and Hoosiers. But you mentioned The Quick and the Dead earlier, and he was such a great bad guy in that.
Yeah.
And he was a great bad guy in No Way Out, too. I really, getting that fifth film, I would probably have to say, you know, I'd say it's probably a tie between The Quick and the Dead and Poseidon Adventure.
I've never seen Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Is he good in that? Yeah,
he's kind of a leader, and he does this this great scene where he's trying to open a hatch or something. Hey, Rob, can we let's do a really quick break and then we'll come back and wrap this up, right? And I'll tell
Sounds
you my
good.
Favorite scene from Poseidon Adventure. Rob Thomas is here. We're talking Gene Hackman as Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Until I meet the dog, Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said, but you're probably gonna say I look lovely.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. We are talking, I'm talking with Rob Thomas, Madison-based film critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor. We're talking about the legacy of Gene Hackman and just why we are both sort of so in awe of him. Rob, I was telling you before the break about the scene in Poseidon Adventure that stuck with me. It was one of the first probably impactful scenes I watched as a kid, and he was kind of leading people through the boat, trying to get them to safety. He plays a priest. And, but he was kind of that Hackman tough guy priest. I knew a couple of those when I was younger too, but he was hanging onto this big, huge, dial trying to open a hatch for everybody. And the thing was piping hot and he's hanging, he knows he's going to die. And he's turning the thing with his hands, which are basically burning off from steam. And, it's just so dramatic. And then I think he just drops down, if I remember correctly, and dies. But I was like, that was incredible as a kid, you know, to see something like that.
Yeah, he could play, like I think he was a very grounded actor, but he could play big scenes as well. Like, did you see French Connection 2?
You know what? I feel like I did, but I don't remember anything about it.
Not as good as the first, but it still has some moments. And one, he goes to France after the drug dealers, and he gets hooked on heroin against his will. There's a scene where he gets off it. He sort of goes cold turkey, and it's really good. And it's like really, like he really goes for it in a way you usually don't see him, because he's usually such a tough guy. And so he knew how to use that, I think, sometimes, you know, because he was such a tough guy, to be maybe more vulnerable on screen than another actor might let themselves do.
Well said. Yeah. All right. So just to recap, your list is number one is Conversation. Number two was French Connection.
Yep.
Three was Unforgiven. Four was Tenenbaums. And what was your number five?
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers. That's right. All right. So if you're listening, folks, this is from a bona fide, awesome, genuine film critic. Check out those five films. Rob would recommend that Gene Hackman stars in. My list was Mississippi Burning, then The Conversation. And I'm lost here. Okay. And then I had, The French Connection. And then I think I have a tie between the Poseidon Adventure, just because of probably that one scene, but how it affected me, and maybe The Quick and the Dead, I'd probably say. So all great films. Yeah, all good stuff. So, all right. Well, thanks for that, Rob. You told me you have Patton Oswalt tickets. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of another giant in his own field or genre, that's kind of cool.
He's playing at the Comedy Club in Madison, which is really
comedy on stage.
Isn't that great? Like all weekend. Yeah, he's been great to see him up close.
I thought I saw him like 2 years ago that he was playing the Orpheum.
Yeah, but the last couple of times through town, he's played the club, and I think, and I've seen a lot of big name comics doing that. I think they just like the room. Huh. Maybe he's trying out new stuff. He's not ready to take to the big stage. I don't know, but I'm excited.
That's fascinating. Yeah, he was. He and I were both in Jimmy Pardo's wedding party years ago. I don't know him well at all, but he was very funny at the roast. We all roasted Pardo, and Patton had some really good. He kept calling him Johnny Pardo. So very funny guy. And boy, what an acting career he's carved out for himself. I remember the first thing I think I saw him in was Justified, where he played like a local constable, and he had a go bag, and he was just funny, but a really good actor too.
Yeah, he's really good. And you know, I mean, I would say it's Gene Hackman level. He knows how to use his looks, I think, in really interesting ways on screen.
Yeah. Are you covering him, or are you seeing him just for fun?
Just for fun. As soon as I saw he was coming, and I think it was, yeah, I definitely wanted to go see him, especially in a comedy club environment.
That's excellent. Anything you could recommend, Rob? Have you binge watched anything?
I'm way behind on shows. There's a movie opening tomorrow called Last Breath, and I wrote.
Oh yeah.
Like it feels like kind of a Gene Hackman type movie from the 90s. It's based on a true story about this diver who gets kind of stuck at the bottom of the ocean with only a few minutes of oxygen.
Yeah.
It's an incredible true story, told a very grounded, sort of like I described like Apollo 13 on the bottom of the ocean. And so I really recommend that one this weekend.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Well, last night you were on the show. We talked Oscars. I did see Nickel Boys last night, but let's save that. Next time you're on, we got to dive into those films as well, and we'll recap
that. We'll know how the Oscars were. Right?
Yeah, for sure. All right, buddy. Well, thank you for jumping on short notice. Happy Gene Hackman Day. What a legacy. And now go get some laughs tonight. That sounds like fun.
There you go. Thanks, Pete.
All right, you got it, Rob. That's Rob Thomas. Check out his work at CityCast Madison. He's the newsletter editor. And great critic there in Madison. So where do you rank Gene Hackman, Conrad, on a scale of how many Gene Hackman films? I think you told me this earlier, but
out of the list I looked at, I've only seen Hoosiers.
Hoosiers.
But I've seen that like a billion times.
So you've seen many Gene Hackman movies.
just one.
I'm kind of envious. You got a lot of cool films to catch up on if you so choose. So tomorrow night on Nightlight, as I mentioned, this is great. We have Anders Lindwall is going to pop by and just kind of give us an update on how his film is doing. It's having a very nice theatrical run here in Wisconsin and soon to be available on streaming platforms. But we'll try to get some information about that tomorrow night. And he'll talk about where you can see the film, I guess, for one more week. They keep extending it because it's doing well. So we'll talk about that tomorrow night with Anders Lindwall. It's a bar band Friday night. Terry Bauer will be here. And comedian James Connolly, who is headlining an event for the Fox Valley Veterans Council. He's a comedian and former Marine. He'll be here tomorrow night to talk about that event as well. So a jam-packed show tomorrow night. Thanks so much, everybody. And my thanks to Rich Tallarico, Rob Thomas, and all of your texts on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.